Good morning. It's great that you could join us here at KCC today. My name's Nicola. I'm the pastor here at Nottingley. And if you're visiting for the first time, a great big welcome to you. This week, we're going to continue our series called Follow Me, all about being a disciple of Jesus. But before we listen to our message this morning, I've got a little clip for you from Janet at church. During the lockdown, people have been busy. We've had builders into the church, and the church building has been transformed. And we're just going to listen to how this has come about from Janet.
Yeah. In March, when we had the first lockdown, I was going out of church and tried to lock the door, and the handle came off in my hand. So I called Bill, and Bill came and fixed it. And while he was here, I said to him, "Can't you do something with these horrible toilets? They stink. Ladies and gentlemen, just see what we've done to our toilets. We now have two unisex toilets with lights that come off. Lights. All fully kitted out, and we have brand new, our own, very own disabled toilet, which is an absolute, or it will be an absolute boon to the church going forward. All kitted out with baby change, everything that the disabled person would want, takes a wheelchair, fabulous. Now you might say, how have we created that? Well, there was so much wasted space that, believe it or believe it not, we moved into the church and we broke and made another door from the church, and we've created now what we call the food bank room. And you say, where on earth did we get all this space from? All this space was wasted by our old toilets, how they were built. So we've been able to make this wonderful room now. And whilst we were doing it, a suggestion came, why don't we put a staircase, proper staircase that goes into the loft. So we've now got a proper staircase that goes into the loft. No more trying to climb through a hatch. All that was done via food bank donations. As you might remember, the food bank was broken into just at the beginning of the first lockdown, and as a result of that, the food bank was inundated with monetary donations, and the trustees felt that we should do something that we could say, this is what we did with the money, some of the money that came in. So all this was paid out of the food bank fund, but it also has made such a difference, and it's such a bonus to the food bank, so it's money well spent.
Thank you, Jana. It's so great that we can transform the building in such a way. The toilets and the entrance area has been an issue for a while, and now the building's more accessible for people with disabilities, and also the food bank will be able to work more efficiently from that space. So thank you very much for the offerings and the gifts that were given and the generosity that's enabled this to happen. This morning we're going to continue our series on discipleship. It's called Follow Me, and we're going to be looking at what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. This is the third week in our series. With the first week we looked at prayer and how important it is to pray and communicate with God. And also after that we looked at the importance of reading the Bible and how essential it is in growing in our faith and getting to know God more and getting to know who he is, and also for our discipleship journey. But this week we're going to be looking at giving and how giving is an essential part of our discipleship journey. Now, when I first became a Christian, I didn't quite understand what giving was. I saw the bag going around and people putting money in, and I'd put the odd pound or something in, or whatever was in my pocket. I didn't understand why people gave. Didn't know how much people gave or how much you were supposed to give. And I wasn't entirely sure what they gave for. It took me a while to understand that giving was a part of my walk, part of my relationship with God, and part of my discipleship, part of following Jesus. I had a scarcity understanding of giving. I didn't understand the biblical idea of giving and what that meant to my everyday life, and that we should be giving in abundance. I never felt that I had enough to give more. I had a lot of stuff to spend my money on. I wasn't sure where it was going, and I thought I needed more before I could give more. You know, giving wasn't often spoken about in church. It wasn't something that you heard from the front. It wasn't something that was in everyday discussions within the church and within church meetings. But it wasn't until I began to understand giving and that all I had was from God that I saw my finances in a completely different way. I saw what I had differently. I began to steward my finances differently. And as I saw what I had in a different light, I changed from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset, which was giving out of the abundance of what God has given me. Give God first as an act of worship. Give God the first fruits, the first of what comes in. Give him the best portion. And then I can decide what I wanted to do with the rest of what God had given me. How we handle our time and talents and our money is at the heart of our walk with God. We should be dependent on God for all that he has and all that he provides for us. Now, when it comes to giving, we should all decide individually what to give. It's not something that's prescribed to us. It's not something that's written down in a rule book. It's where we are and where we are with God in our relationship with God that shows really what we see as giving of our best to God. The Church of England have developed a really helpful six-step guide to better explain the journey we go through in our discipleship in regards to our journey with giving. And as I read through these six steps, maybe you could position yourself and you can maybe identify for where you are on this journey and maybe how you need to maybe move further forward in the steps to get to the place where God really wants us to be. Now, the first step is called survival. It says, I will give a bit when I'm asked because the church ought to be there in case I need it. The need is survival, and there's a chance that the church might help. The relationship with the church is that I know it's there if I need it. All being well, I won't need it, but it'll be there. So I'll give a little bit when they ask for it. The next step is called supermarket. I'm happy to pay towards the cost of the bits of the church that I want and I enjoy. This is where the need is safety, and by treating the church on my terms, I feel safe and unchallenged. I see myself as a customer of the church. I'll pay for what I want. I'll pay for what I can get. Step three is support. The work of the church is important, and so I'll support it. This really reflects a person's need for belonging. I see myself as a member of the supporters club. Step four is subscription. I see myself as a member and I wish to contribute to my fair share of the costs. This need from the person is identity. I'm recognised and I'm playing my part. Step four is submission. My understanding of being a disciple is that I should put God first in my life. I see a deeper meaning in life, and my giving responds to God and not just to the needs of the church. And the final step, step six, is sacrifice. My Christian calling is to be Christ-like, and so naturally I give joyfully and sacrificially following Christ. Now, where would you place yourself here. We're just going to look at a couple of stories from the Bible. The first one is about Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19. Starting at verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was too short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to the house and to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now this story is a story of a transformed man. Zacchaeus met Jesus. And that meeting with Jesus completely transformed his life. He changed from being a collector of money to a giver of money. He changed from wanting to get all that he can for himself to wanting to give to others who are in need. Now, I was a missionary for a while in Sierra Leone, and God gave me that ability to share what he'd given me, to be part of something bigger. And to do this, I kind of had to flip around the notion of giving your first to God, a first amount to God, and living off the rest. I kind of flipped it and I gave the majority of my income to God to enable me to do his work in Sierra Leone. And I lived off a very small amount that was left at the end. But you know, this time that I spent in Sierra Leone, I saw lives transformed, communities transformed, and God do amazing things. Now, if we look in Matthew 14, there's a story of when Jesus fed thousands of people. It's often said feeding of the 5,000, but there were 5,000 men plus women and children. In chapter 14, verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a huge crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000, besides women and children. Now, it was a little boy that offered this lunch, this fish and these loaves of bread. He gave what he had to Jesus. There was a need and he gave that small amount that he had. And Jesus fed 5,000 plus people with it. You know, when we give what we have, when we give out of the heart of generosity, the gifts that we place in God's hands are often multiplied to meet the needs of greater works. This would have been an absolute wow moment for this boy. This boy saw an opportunity. He had something and he gave it. And God multiplied it. But you know, that boy didn't miss out. He was part of that crowd. And he would have sat down with the rest of the people and he would have eaten his full. He wouldn't go hungry. He risked his own provision for the comfort and the hope of helping others, but he gained much more. He ate till he was full. You know, he had the faith that God could use that gift, that act of generosity, that those loaves and those fishes to make a difference and to meet a need. I remember once when I was at a youth camp and I took some of the young people from our church to a youth camp, and the leaders decided that they wanted to meet the need of a missionary that they'd invited to share about the work that they were doing overseas with young people. The leaders of the youth camp knew that the missionaries didn't have a vehicle, and this was a big hindrance to their work there. As they had children, it was very difficult to use public transport there. Sometimes it wasn't safe to be out and about, and it was very time consuming. So it was having a negative effect on their work. But they couldn't afford a car. So the leaders said to the young people, wouldn't it be great if someone gave them a gift of a car? All the young people agreed and thought that was a great idea. And then all of a sudden, a car pulled onto the stage, in front of the stage, and the room fell silent. It was a group of teenagers at a youth camp. And in front of them, they were faced with a brand new car. The leaders said, we are going to buy them a car. And there was a silence around, and you could see what was going through everybody's head. Everybody was looking around thinking, lots of young people come to a camp, got the pocket money. How on earth are all these young people going to put enough in to buy this family a car? But you know, the young people and their leaders started to walk to the front and place what they had in their pockets in the boot of this car. Some young people even wrote IOUs because they didn't have things on them. Some people from my youth group said, I really want to give to this. I haven't got something. I want to give my birthday money. And they went forward and they wrote an IOU and put it in the boot. Youth groups got together to pledge an amount of money that they wanted to give as a group, as well as their individual giving. You know, all these pledges were kept and given. At the end, there was more money that was required to buy that particular car. And this revolutionized the missionaries' lives and work. These young people gave what they had to meet a need. They were part of the mission that these people were doing, and they believed in it. You know, recently God asked me to give a sum of money to someone. And I was like, I kind of don't have it. My income was just meeting my needs, or sometimes it wasn't always quite meeting my needs. And so I had to really cut back and look at what I could cut back. But I really felt that God was asking me to meet this need. And I had a dilemma. Do I give and not have enough money myself at the end of the month? Or do I trust God in what he's asked me to do? You know, I always know that when God asks you to do something, he will provide. So I gave. And a few days later, after I'd given this money to this person in need, a check arrived in the post for 4 times the amount that I'd given. And no one knew that I'd given to this person, only God. You know, God knows our needs. And when we step out in faith, when we step out to give in faith and we step out in our finances, God will always meet our need. And very often he blesses and gives you more back in abundance. You know, in the Bible, it's clear that we are to give generously and with the right heart attitude. Often we hear about tithes and offerings. And tithes is, from the Bible, it's talking about giving a tenth of what God has given, your first tenth of your income, 10% of your income of what God has given you, of whatever comes into your house. In Malachi 3 verses 10 to 12, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room, there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You know, God told his people to test him in giving. That if his people trusted him with that 10% and gave their tithes and gave what God had asked them to give, their first fruits, that first part of their earnings to God, then he would bless what came after. In Exodus 35, it says, Israelites gave generously materials, time to build the tabernacle. Everyone worked together to ensure that the tabernacle was built. And you know, that's really important to hear that everyone worked together. It wasn't just a few, it wasn't just a handful. Everybody came together to work together and the tabernacle was built. You know, God brings people together within a church and within a church community. And it's essential that everybody works together and everybody gives so that the tabernacle can be built, so the church can be built, and the church can expand and do the mission that it's supposed to do in their communities. You know, we can look at that and say, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. You know, we're in the New Testament now. But God gave sacrificially. God was the example. Jesus was the example. We look in 1 John 3, verse 16 to 18. It just really shows loving action. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In that passage, it's talking about Jesus giving his all. Jesus came down from earth. He left heaven. He left heaven with all the comforts of heaven there. And he came down to earth and he died for us. He gave everything for us. He's talking about love and loving each other and being generous with what we have. In Acts 20, verse 35, it says, more blessed. It's talked about being more blessed to give than to receive. It says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. When he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, it talks about storing up treasures. And it says, do not store up treasures for yourselves. Sorry, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 to 3, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper. So that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredited by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. Tithing, giving our 10% and offerings, which are over and above that, come from a heart of generosity. We should give of our first fruits, not of our last. Not from what's left over. You know, I always think of it as if you had an important guest for lunch, maybe the Queen came for lunch to your house. What would you give her to eat? Would you look and would you give her the first and the best portion, the choice piece of meat? Would you give her the best of the vegetables? Or would you just eat it and let everybody else eat it and then give her what was left over? I'm sure it would be the former rather than the latter. But you know, if we didn't plan to serve the Queen first, then all that would be left would be those leftovers. Our giving, when we give to God, must be intentional. We have to plan to give, and we have to plan to give on the first day from our first fruits. You know, God asks us to put our finances, our gifts, into the storehouse, into the church, for the church to use it for the mission. You know, the leadership of the church are tasked with spending this money wisely in line with the mission that the church is set out to do. You know, without people bringing in to the storehouse, it's very difficult to move forward to what God is asking us to do. At KCC, it's so difficult to move forward to do the work that God has asked us to do in Nottingley if we're not all backing and we're not all behind it. You know, when we give, even though we put it into the church, into the storehouse, we're not giving to the church, but we're giving to God. So where do you stand in regards to giving? Do you have a scarcity mentality or a generous one? Have you grasped that all that you have is given by God? Do you have a faith-raising, not a fundraising mindset? Do you believe that as you give, your faith will grow? And as your faith grows, this will in turn fuel your generosity. Are you a good steward of what God has given you? And all that we have comes from God. And we're simply stewards of what he's generously given to us. We have to be wise stewards. And we have to be generous stewards. Do you have an abundance, not a scarcity mindset? Do you give out of our abundance rather than what we have left over and what is in our pockets? Do you give out of your first fruits and then live off what's left? Or do you give out of what's in your pocket as an afterthought? Are you resourcing mission? You know, our giving enables mission to happen. God has given us gifts. God has given us finances. God has given us generously. And we in turn need to give to God so that we can support the mission around the world and in Nottingley, so that we can participate in this mission to those people around us. You know, giving is not just a practical necessity for the church. It's an act of worship that draws us closer to God. Giving is one of the concrete ways that we can demonstrate that we are followers of Jesus. If we belong to Jesus, then everything that we have belongs to him, including our finances. You know, we participate as givers, as a member of the body of Christ. We share what we have and we give to God. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, it says, each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we give to God, when we give of our finances, we shouldn't do it begrudgingly. We should decide in our hearts what to give and give it cheerfully to God. But you know, what would happen? What would our church in Nottingley look like? What would KCC look like if everybody in those steps that I mentioned earlier was on step six, was on sacrifice? My Christian calling is to be Christ-like and so naturally give joyfully and sacrificially following Christ. Imagine what could be done, how God could grow what we give and bless it. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a generous God. And thank you, God, that you gave Jesus. You gave freely and you gave generously. Lord, you gave everything that you had. Jesus, we want to follow you, Lord, and we don't take the person next to us or the person in front of us, God, as an example, but we take you as our example to follow. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand giving, that you would help us to have that generosity mindset, that abundance mindset, God, where we give. We give to you, we give to the storehouse, and we give to those people in need. I pray, God, that we will understand that those finances that you've given us, Lord, that we are stewards of those, and help us to steward that well. Lord, and I pray that as we give and as we're generous with that, Lord, that you would bless us and bless us abundantly, that we would see mighty things happen and transformations happen in Nottingley. In Jesus' name, amen. It's great that you could join us here at Nottingley today. Don't forget, we have a coffee time, a time where we can just chat together and be together online on Zoom. The information that you need is down the side in the chat. It'd be great if you could join us there. This week we have a prayer meeting on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Check your email for information on how to get there and to join with us there. It's so important that during these times that we come together to pray. Have a great week, everyone.